Chris is always for playing for us, so. Does a great job. We appreciate it. The big picture, you've always heard that saying, the big picture. We don't see the big picture, or maybe we can see the big picture, but little things get in the way. You know, it's kind of the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees. You know, we focus on the small details and don't see the larger, more important picture that's going on. We get hung up on things and we fail to consider the things that take vision to see. You know, we still see, but we've got vision problems, kind of tagging off of last week. You know, there's a tree, okay? We see a tree, and it's a dead tree. Okay, it's a dead tree. But if we think about the whole thing, you know, how does it affect the whole woods? You know, Randy could probably tell us better, but it gives food to some plant, probably at some time. It gives a shelter or a home to some animal. Maybe provides nutrients for other growth around there, the mushrooms and things that go around. So it's more than just a dead tree. It's got a purpose. It's got something it's doing in the scope of bigger things of the forest. You know, you always use sports analogies, so I'm going to again today. So, you know, sports have players, you know, that especially football that's coming up. They're getting started on football now. And, you know, football have plays. There's 11 guys. They're all on the same team, but they've got roles to play. You know, and the coach lines out this play. This is the plan, okay? This is what we're going to do on this play. And you've got a wide receiver maybe standing way over by the sideline and maybe thinks, you know, what am I doing over there? I'm not going to get the ball. What am I? I'm kind of not my purpose. I don't know what I'm doing way out there. I'm just standing there. I don't see how I'm involved in the play. Then you got the running backs that do things. You got the guy that's going to get the ball, you know, eventually. But the guy out there don't understand the big picture. And the guy standing out there, the wide receiver, he's drawing people to him, okay? He's opening it up for others. He's drawing players over on the defense to have to guard him, and he's taking them away from the play so it helps the others. You know, the running back sometimes, especially on a pass play, the defense, offensive lines, you know, they're crunching each other, but then sometimes they call it a blitz, where a great big linebacker comes zooming in up the middle to try to get to the quarterback. Well, it's that running back's job to stop him from doing that. Now, that guy's usually a little bigger than he is, but that's his job to take that hit, to take that punishment so that there's success for the others on the team. So he does that. Sometimes it's not recognized, but he allows the plan, the play, to come to fruition, and hopefully somebody scores. You know, somebody has success on the play. So it happens in sports too. Sometimes we have to take a hit for someone else's success. You know, God uses us in that way. You know, big picture. Others say don't sweat the small stuff. You know, small stuff can really worry us when there's a lot of larger things taking place. And I gotta admit, sometimes I can handle the big stuff better than I can handle the small stuff. I can handle, if somebody needs X amount of dollars, $500 or something, I can do that. I can't handle, we used to have checks we wrote when I worked at the company. My check off of my bank to my employee for them to cash to go do a job or something, they would go to my bank to cash my check and get charged a fee. That just drove me nuts. Little things bother me a lot. We got it straightened out. But things I don't understand like that, the little stuff sometimes bugs me more than the big stuff. But little stuff gets in the way. There's a bigger picture. You know, faith, we talked about it being a vision tool. And faith is a vision tool that allows us to see the big picture. At least to see everything. You know, faith dictates how much God is in your life, or if he's in your life. You know, you're here today because he's obviously at least a part of your life. But is he the center of your life? You know, is he the center? That's really what God requires. Not just be part of your life, but be the center of your life. You know, is he your first thought? Or is he an afterthought when things come up? And I'll give you an example. I remember back on, again, we were working at the graphics company in Whitestown, and 9/11 happened, so we're all in watching the TV. You know, there's a TV in the conference room where several of us were at, and we're seeing all these things take place. Of course, the planes and the building and the fire and all of that. And, you know, I look over at a friend of mine, Mark, who's a very godly person, really good guy. You know, I look over, you know, I see his head bowed. He's praying. Made me feel bad. He was doing that first. It's what I should have been doing first. You know, faith is God first. Faith is sometimes to understand that sometimes the worst things might be the best things. I'm going to give you an early preview to Hebrews chapter 11 today if you're coming to Bible study. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read a few of the verses. We're going to start out with 1 through 6. It's called the faith chapter. We call it the hall of faith. It lists the people and the people that I believe had the faith to see the big picture. They weren't just stuck in the here and now. They saw the expanded. They saw the future. They saw the big picture. So we're going to read Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. It says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." You know, these that we're talking about, it's called about the ancients. You know, these were early believers. And God isn't asking us to have blind faith. You've heard of blind faith. You just believe. He's not asking us to do that. It's confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. You know, it has substance. It has evidence. You know, everything around us is made up of things we can't see. But we have the vision to trust. You know, everything's out of moving molecules. You know, there's atoms, there's protons, electrons, and neutrons. They're all moving together really fast. You're sitting in some of those. You drove here in some of those. You know, things we can't see. Furniture, vehicles, everything around us. We can't truly see what's holding it all together. But we have faith in them when we interact with them. This is when you sat down today, you knew that was going to hold you. Even though there's vibrating parts that we can't see that's really holding it together. You know, the Bible, it's reliable. You know, it's history, which is collaborated by other historical documents. It's not just by itself. Other historical documents confirm what's there. It's got prophecies that for over thousands of years which have been confirmed. It's got writings over thousands of years that all align with each other. Amongst all the authors, amongst all the books, they all in a line. You know, science, I believe itself, teaches us it's easier to believe in creation than evolution. You know, evolution will never be able to provide a reliable theory. It's still a theory. They can't prove evolution. There's always and always will be a missing link. Something's missing. Now, there's excavations going on all the time that also show us and prove God's word. And I think the more and more we find, the closer we are to his coming. He's going to draw us with what he needs to draw us to him before that, because he wants everyone to be there. So these excavations, whether it be Noah's Ark or all these things are finding, is just confirming what he's told us to draw people to him. Then God confirms it with our faith. You know, it's the channel God uses. We're saved by faith through grace. Or saved, got that backwards. Saved by grace through faith. It's the channel that he uses to give us grace. It's faith that draws. It's an assurance of a relationship with him, that we have that faith. And this chapter constantly points out the faith by these folks that are talked about, by the ancients. And, you know, it says by faith creation, they believe that. Same as we do. And also we have faith. You know, we have faith in the virgin birth. We have faith in the death, burial, resurrection. But we also have those as facts. You know, it's in the Bible. It's in historical records too. So we have the facts to back it up. But his second coming, we have faith that his promised second coming is going to be. We have faith in eternal life for those that belong to him because he said it. And we trust him in those things. You know, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And again, I'll say, without faith, it's impossible to know God. You have to have faith. And then rewards come for those who seek him because of that faith. He will reward that faith. We drop down to Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. And all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You know, all people require the same faith in God. You know, these folks weren't any different than us. They had to believe forward that God was sending someone, that God is sending someone to cover sins and to do that for them, what they couldn't do themselves. Well, we believe what Jesus has done. We're just on the other side. But it's all belief in Jesus. He's the only way. And we get there the same way, whether the ancients or today. And these people died before the promise, before they received it. But they died in faith. They still had that faith. They saw and understood the big picture. They knew what was coming. They could see it. And they knew it would come at some point, even though they didn't experience it while they were alive here on earth. And it's the same way for us now. You know, we're still at a time where we may see it, but we may not either, and have it realized while we're here on earth. But God rewards faithful believers, and he's preparing a home for you just as he did for them. Now it goes on down through, we're not going to read all of that chapter, but by faith the list continues with the we call them the heroes of faith and the accomplishments that happened in their lives and how God used them. You know, tremendous things happened. You know, so many victories. You know, how they overcome the enemy in battles and things. And just so many victories. And all of these people were in line with God and changing the world and fulfilling God's plan. You know, they were doing their role. Maybe God asked them to be a wide receiver. Maybe God asked them to be the running back to take the hit for someone else. But they're fulfilling God's plan. They listened to the coach and they were obedient. And had trust in his plan, trust in God. And they were, you know, and for us, being examples of faith for those who followed after them, living examples of people who stood the tests and remain faithful. The final section is Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be imprisoned, or refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, there's many more heroes of faith than what's shown, you know, the named. People that conquered, people that survived, people that thrived. You know, life was restored to some, but not for everyone. Not for everyone. For many, life was even much harder. Life was difficult. They were made fun of. They were tortured. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. They lived lonely, desolate lives and put to death in many horrible ways. But they all saw the big picture. They were faithful. They knew a better resurrection was coming. They trusted in God's plan and who He is, even through terrible things. It says the world is not worthy of them. These are true heroes of faith. God had planned something better for us. So it says that only when we're together would they be made perfect. We'll only be made perfect when we're with Jesus. It's not going to happen in this lifetime. We'll be perfected, we'll be matured. But our true calling, our true end, our true, when we're made perfect, won't be till we're with Him. So times are going to be tough. There's times we're asked to take the hit for others, where times, you know, they're not all going to be victories. There'll be victories for God, but they won't be victories for us, it would seem, here on earth. There's going to be times of you know, these struggles that they went through. But we will be made perfect in the end. I have a short video I want Lisa to play. Well, it's a little longer than short, but I don't know if you've watched The Chosen, but this is Jesus talking to a disciple. And they're talking about healing and talking about what He's going through. I thought it was very good, so I hope it comes through okay. So I want to watch the video. See if it comes through.
Of course, they have is something to see. So to speak is a very good quality. Before I ask you a question, please. You're sending us out of the ability to heal the sick and lame. Yes, that's what you said. Yes. So you're telling me that I have the ability to heal.
Discover yourself by a true strength because of your weakness.
Do you understand?
Life is hard. Being a Christian can be harder. But faith's a great thing to hold on to. Faith's got plenty of rewards and blessings we receive. Faith doesn't always give an immediate deliverance from struggles. It does give us a promise of victory for those who keep the faith. We don't understand the things happening to us. We can see, but God has His reasons. I've seen, and I hope you've also seen, how God worked through tragedies and horrible times in either your life or the lives of others to bring about great things. Great things like bringing people to salvation. Salvations that maybe wouldn't have happened if the bad times hadn't taken place. His plan has an eternal destination to it. He uses the faith of those who trust Him to draw others to Himself. Joshua 1:9, we're going to finish with that and then have an invitation. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." No matter what comes in this life, faithful people with vision will trust God's plan for them and see the big picture and know what the big picture is about. A plan to be made perfect. A plan of eternal life with eternal rewards for those who have not been afraid and remain courageous. Just know you're not alone. And this life is but a speck of what eternity is all about. Know that through it all that God is with you. This life isn't it. It's something better planned for you. And what a time to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Great is your reward." The hero chapter isn't filled. This is how many they... He pointed out during the time they wrote it. It's still being written. You can be a hero of faith too. You can be a hero of faith to others. God wants to use you in His plan. Let's pray.